Hey there, everyone. Welcome to today's episode of the Reading Project Podcast. Today, I'm going to be interviewing Haley Glenn. Haley is the best-selling author and illustrator of When Verona the Corona Came to Town. She's published multiple children's books and activity books and now runs an independent publishing house of her own. Haley was born and raised in Western New York, where she was an elementary teacher for 6 years, which played a role in inspiring her first book. Haley actually spoke at the last Teachers Make Money online summit that I hosted this past summer, and I really enjoyed working with Haley, and that's why I'm so excited to have her as a guest on the Reading Project podcast to talk more about her books and how we can use children's books to help children process difficult situations and learn more about themselves. All right, everyone, let's go. Hey there, everyone. Welcome to season 4 of the Reading Project podcast. I'm so excited to be launching the 4th season. I can't even believe it, but here we are. So the Reading Project podcast is hosted by yours truly, Ashley DiMercaro from Your Reading Tutor, LLC. I'm a private reading tutor, podcaster, virtual summit host, and business mentor. I work with students in grades K-8, usually. And I offer homeschooling support packages. I'm also a wife and homeschooling mom to my 2 kiddos. My mission is to help families, caregivers, and educators build stronger and more confident readers one episode at a time. I want you to know that you don't have to be a teacher in order to help your struggling reader. I'm here to help with book suggestions, homework tips and tricks, mindset work, tools and ideas for tackling reading, writing, and spelling work at home. And I'll be bringing in guest experts to share their wisdom as well. I have some great new episodes planned for you this year. You can expect new episodes twice a month this season. This season, I'll be talking about banned books, graphic novels, building reading fluency, reading challenges, and so much more. Watch for a new style of episode where I do a deep dive into a student and family profile and talk about how I would approach helping the student and family. When you're listening this season, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast, and follow me on Instagram at Your Reading Tutor, or send me an email at ashleyd@yourreadingtutor.com. And we'll make sure to include the links to those things down in the show notes. All right, let's dive in to season 4 of the Reading Project podcast. Let's go. Hi, Haley. Thank you so much for being here today.
Hi, I'm stoked to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, let's jump right in and talk more about how you got into your line of work and how you became an author.
So I never thought that I would be an author. Like, it was never something that I thought about or had dreamt for myself. But when COVID came, I was in the classroom. So I was an elementary school teacher, which I did love. And we all got sent home, and the parents kept messaging me and asking me, like, you know, how do I explain this to my kid? What do I tell them? How can I, like, broach this subject without saying the wrong thing and, like, scaring them more, or, you know, all kinds of questions like that. And in the beginning, I was like, I found it a little bit funny because I was like, I'm this, like, 25-year-old teacher. I don't know what's going on in the world, right? I wish I had a way to explain it to them, but whoa. And I was like telling my mom that the parents were messaging me, and she was like, well, you should write a book. And I was like, that's hilarious, mom. That's a funny joke. But it kind of like planted a seed, and I opened a note in my phone, and I was thinking about it all the time. And I would like think of something that would be super cute to include in the book. And I'd be like, I'll just go put it in the note just for fun. And then one night we were distance learning, and I was like, I think that they actually like really need this. This might be helpful. It was like a fever dream almost. It was like in the middle of the night, and I wrote the entire book, my first book, When Verona the Corona Came to Town, in one sitting at like 3 a.m. I know. I mean, it wasn't like my final draft. There was a lot of editing that went into it.
Right. Of course.
Kind of just like came together. And I was like, whoa, is this really happening? And then I love to like paint and draw and do all of those things. So then I started illustrating it to see if it could actually like be a cute book. Mm-hmm. And it kind of just came together. And then I was like, wait a minute, I need to get this printed or publish this somehow. So I started looking into publishing. And at the time, I thought that traditional publishing was kind of the only like way to publish your book, but it was, the timeline was going to be like 2 to 3 years. And I was like, no, this needs to be out like literally yesterday.
Right.
So then I did some more research and learned about self-publishing, and I taught myself how to basically successfully self-publish my book. And I did it that way. And then after that, my first book kind of like took off, became a bestseller and went crazy, which is hilarious because when I was writing it, my mom was like, are you going to be sad if you only sell like 10 copies to like our family? And I was like, no, it'll be more than that because I'm buying them for my students. So it'll be at least 20. But yeah, then people were like, when is your second book? When is your second book? So then I did a second book, and then I did the activity book that I just published. And then after that, people started messaging me about questions about their book. Like, is this a good manuscript? Or what do you think of this character? And I got a ton of questions about publishing. They're like, how can I publish? I have so many questions. And I think because I had done it a few times at that point and had seen success with it, it like positioned me almost as like an expert in the self-publishing children's book realm, like very neat. But the people were finding me somehow. So then I started working with authors. Mm. And I started with just like one-off sessions here and there. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, maybe it would be cool if I did like a group publishing thing. So then I did a writing academy. So now I have like a writing academy where you come with like a children's book idea and we turn it into a fully polished manuscript. And then I have a publishing academy where you have your polished manuscript and your illustrations, and we go through the actual like technicalities of publishing and, you know, all that jazz. And so those are my group ones. Those are super fun. And then my like one-off, one-on-one sessions turned into like 6 month to a year mentorship programs, essentially, where I now have clients that I work with one-on-one to fully publish their book. We go through everything. We go through like the writing, the editing, we go through the marketing, we go through the technicalities of publishing, and you know, we kind of just everything. So yeah, it all happened. Like it kind of just like kept unfolding.
That's awesome. So do you find that most of the one-on-one clients that you work with are current teachers or past teachers?
Yes. Not all of my clients are or have been teachers, but a large majority of them are. Most of them are. Yes.
Yeah. I just feel like teachers make great authors, right? Because we're right there with kids all the time, seeing what they're going through, getting their perspective. And I think teachers, you know, we're nurturers, and we always like, how can I help? How can I make this better for kids? So
totally, entirely. Yeah. That's actually one of my like biggest beliefs since I have become a children's book author is that elementary teachers in particular make the best children's book authors. Mm-hmm. Like when I kind of just started going on this journey, I had no idea how many people were actually going to have children's book ideas that like, whoa, that's a fantastic idea. Mm-hmm. I have been like so overwhelmed by the ideas, like, wow, just absolutely incredible ideas. But you're right. It makes total sense. Mm-hmm. You're in the classroom, you're with the kids, you're seeing the situations that need books to address them, right? Because it's like the best way to open up conversations with littles, right? With kids.
Right.
And another thing is like, you're seeing what's missing. You know what books are available to you and what's missing. Uh-huh. So yes. Yeah.
Well, that's like a perfect segue into the next part of our conversation, which is that people are always asking me for book recommendations to help their kids with difficult life situations. You know, do you have any books to help with the death of a loved one or the death of a pet or moving or, you know, all kinds of things, surgeries. My kid is afraid of the dentist, you know, whatever the thing is. So why do you think books are so helpful in this way?
Well, I think that there's a few reasons. I mean, I think back to when I was a kid and I felt so different than adults. Like even like a 20-year-old, it seemed like they had it all together and they like totally know what's going on and they're never worried or sad or you know what I mean? It's just like, you know that they are. Right. But as a kid, you kind of just like have a different view of adults. So right. I think that in books, it's so much easier for kids to relate to characters that are also kids. It's just like kind of on the same wavelength as they are in their life right now. And so they kind of take it more seriously. And also I think another thing that plays into that, like say psychologically, is when kids are young, they're very self-interested because they're just like learning about themselves and they're only experiencing the world like through what they know. So when it's a character that they can relate to, they're much more likely to like pay attention and really hone in and be like, oh, that actually makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I feel like if you've already been reading with your child or talking about books with your kids, then you already have some of that connection and that bond. So then when you're sitting and reading a book about something that's really difficult, your child is going to feel more comfortable and able to say to you, you know, I worry about that too, or, you know, I wonder what would happen to me, you know? And so they're able to like open up to you.
Yeah, entirely. So it's also like setting that relationship with books and with reading time and how they feel during that time. Yeah.
So that's right. And I think parents have a good opportunity in those moments to also, you know, gently and non-pressuring, you know, you're not pressuring your kids, but you know, how do you think you would feel if you were in this situation? You know, I think sometimes parents feel like, oh, I'm not a teacher. I can't do it. I can't help them, but you really can. And I always encourage parents and tell them, you know, you are your child's first teacher, right? Mm-hmm. You taught them how to walk and talk. And so you can do this too. And that reading with your kids and having these conversations is huge. It helps them process these difficult situations. But also we've talked on the podcast in the past about just like vocabulary development and how important these conversations are for vocabulary and comprehension. And so, yeah, simple questions like, what do you think about that? How would you react? Can really help your kiddo process and just build their reading skills.
Entirely. Yeah. And it also kind of like takes the pressure off of them in the situation because it's like, well, if you were in that situation, like that character is, how would you feel? So it's easier for them to manage whatever feeling it might be.
Definitely. So can you tell us a little bit more about your first book, When Verona the Corona Came to Town? Is I say that right?
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about how that helped kids and how your students reacted to the book and how parents reacted to the book. You know, so what was some of the feedback you got?
Yeah, the feedback that I got was that it was a really powerful way to open up the conversation about what was going on in the world. And I got that feedback from parents, from teachers, my students themselves, and not just like primary teachers. Like I also had like middle school teachers, high school teachers read the book with their kids to talk about it because I mean, the power of like books and stories is just, again, it's just like a really easy way to relate and open up that conversation. So the way that the book unfolded was that it was realistic in the sense that it addressed what was going on. Like obviously everything was changing. It follows a little girl named Mary Ellen who she was in first grade and she one day just like couldn't go back to her classroom. And so it's not just the struggle of like, what is going on in the world? Like, are we safe? But it's also the struggle of where's my routine? Where are my friends? And kids thrive on routine, right? Most of the time. So it also addressed that aspect of things as well. And then it kind of talked about like some of the really interesting things we saw at that time, like all of the signs all over the door. So the kids could easily kind of chime in and be like, oh, you know, I did see that. Or like, oh my gosh, the aisles at the grocery store were really bare, have been really bare.
Right.
So just those little pieces there. And then it goes on to kind of talk about, well, like, even though it's a really weird time, like it dips into talking about feelings, and it's like, it's okay to feel whatever you're feeling, like whatever feeling you're feeling is valid. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to be scared, but also know that like, it's okay to also be simultaneously happy. Like you're still allowed to find the joy in like the little things. You're still allowed to like, be glad that you have more time to color or whatever. Right. It, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it talked a little bit about like some of the good things that people did during that time. Like some people went and made masks for their neighborhoods and, you know, all of those things. Right. So yeah.
That's wonderful. A little
synopsis.
Yeah. I think that's great. And I love hearing that, you know, middle school and high school teachers were using it as well. We did an episode about why children's books and picture books are great, even for older readers. So yeah,
that one.
And I think it's helpful for parents too, who are in it too, you know, parents and caregivers and teachers, like we're in it too. And I know I have two children, and when it comes to some of the more like the harder parenting topics, I look for books that I can, I don't know, it just helps to be holding something in your hand. That's like a starting point, a jumping off point. I don't have to think of everything to say perfectly myself. Yeah. Like I can use this book as a tool.
Yes. And that's the whole thing. It's a tool. It starts the conversation. It doesn't have to encompass everything that you want to talk about, but it starts the conversation.
Right. Yeah. And I love the message that we're sending to our kids too, when we're reading books for this like personal growth. Right. And we're like showing our kids that I don't know everything, but when I want to learn something new or when I want to investigate, like I'm going to go to a book and I'm going to learn about it.
I love that so much.
So what do you think is your most favorite thing about being a children's book author?
There's a lot of things that are amazing. I love the creative aspect of it all. I was talking with someone recently about how I feel our world right now is very like digital and very corporate. And I think that a lot of the creativity has been, you know, stripped away from a lot of people, and how that can make people feel like stale or unfulfilled. I just think creativity is so important. So for me, the creativity part of it is massive. And then I love that I'm able to create something that I know is making, even if very small, somewhat of a positive impact out in this big crazy world. You know what I mean?
That's great.
Yeah. And I love that I'm able to like also help other people now bring their stories to life.
I can relate to that. I mean, through growing my tutoring business and then having, you know, other educators and other entrepreneurs come to me and say, you know, I want to do more what you're doing. How do I learn about that? You know, it's very rewarding to be able to like,
it really is. Yeah.
Help someone else grow their business too, or get their idea worked out. So
yeah. And then you make connections, you just meet like the best people.
Yeah. That's my favorite part. What do you feel like then? What was the hardest part for you in the whole process of writing your first book and getting it out there?
The hardest part was probably just like all the technicalities of the actually publishing the book itself, because I don't know, I talked about this already a little bit. Like I really like the creative part. I do not care for the admin part of things as much. I'll do them. Yeah. But yeah, that's definitely my least favorite part.
Definitely. Okay. So tell us, I know you said you wrote three books. Your most recent book is the Squiggle book, right? Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Oh my gosh. Yes. I'm obsessed with that one. So it's an activity book, and I know that this is only text, but I have it here. So it's an activity book, and it just has 100 different squiggles in it, like literal squiggly lines. There's a squiggly line, a different squiggly line on every page. And the idea is that you take that squiggle and you sit down and you turn it into something. And there's no right or wrong answer. So it's just a really amazing way to get the creative juices flowing, to wake your mind up, and to have a little bit of fun.
Yeah.
So in the book, I did two copies of each squiggle. Oh. And I did that for a few reasons. So one option is that, like, it's a great way to challenge yourself to do mm-hmm. something different. If you do something the first time and you want to challenge yourself to like do a different one, or you can challenge a friend. And then that way, what I found in my classroom is that, first of all, they would get like so excited about the squiggles, and then they would get so excited to share their squiggles. And this was never my intention, but it turned into a really great way to open the conversation of, oh my gosh, look at this squiggle that we all started with, and everyone came up with something different. So it's just a tangible way to show that all of our brains work differently, and that it it's beautiful.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. I already mentioned that it's like sitting in my Amazon car. I'm like been sitting on purchasing it here for a little while. I'm like, how can I incorporate this into my tutoring work? It's been a brain break or a little warm up. So
yeah, we used them as actually brain break and morning warm up in my class too.
That's fantastic. All right. So that's pretty recent, right? You just released that, like, I don't know.
Yeah, that was
update, but recently.
I should know this. I don't. okay. It was, I don't know, earlier this year sometime.
Yeah. So what can people expect from you next? Are there more books coming out?
Yes. So I actually have my third story written and I'm working on the illustrations. I have been dragging my feet, but maybe this will be my motivation.
Yes.
I am hoping to publish it early next year. I'm thinking March.
Okay, great. Very exciting.
Yeah. And it kind of falls into the same realm of like addressing a societal issue, basically.
Okay. Wow. I can't wait. That's fantastic. So how can people learn more about you, or where can they learn more about you and support you and the work that you're doing?
Yeah. So probably the best way would be Instagram. Mm-hmm. I'm very active on Instagram. It's at growing_with_Glynn. And it's the same handle on TikTok. I'm on TikTok all the time too.
Right.
Or my website is growingwithglynn.com.
Okay. Great. Yeah, we'll make sure to include all of those links in the show notes, as well as links to all of your books so people can check those out. And Haley said she'll be willing to do a giveaway. So that's great. We'll be able to give away one of her books to one of our listeners.
Yes, that's fun. I'm obsessed.
Fantastic. So obviously we've been talking about books this whole time, but I always love to wrap up the episode just by asking my guests, you know, what was a book that has shaped you the most as a teacher, could be, or as a person, if there was a book you remember from childhood. Some people share a book they love using with their students. So just a book that comes to mind when you're asked about books.
Yeah, I guess that this is kind of, I don't know, maybe a silly answer, but the book that sticks out for me most in my childhood was I Love You, Stinky Face. Did you know
it? Yes,
of course. Of course. Yeah. I don't know. That was just like my favorite book. I literally asked my mom to read it to me every night.
Oh boy. My daughter loves that one too. We read that a lot.
Yeah. It just gives like love you literally no matter what. And I love it.
Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh. Gonna have to see if that's still on her bookshelf tonight. It's been a while since we read that one, but definitely I remember a period of time where we read it every night. So
that's a good one. For sure. One.
Fantastic. All right, Haley, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. I'm really excited for more people to get their hands on your books and to have just more books coming that are great resources for families. So now when a family says, oh, how do I talk about what happened? I say, I have just the book for you.
Exactly. Yes.
All right. Well, thank you so much again.
Thank you. This has been so nice.
All right, everyone. That was a fantastic episode. I love talking to Haley. I love her energy. And I think that she's doing really great and very important work when it comes to creating these children's books that help parents and children and caregivers and teachers discuss these difficult life topics and these life situations. And then also the side of her work where she's encouraging and helping other authors or to be authors get their ideas out there. So I think she's doing really great work. We're going to make sure to include all of the links to her books and to her website in the show notes. So make sure you check out the work that she's doing. All right, everyone, until next time, keep reading.
Thank you all so much for listening. It truly means the world to me. If you love this podcast and have found it helpful and you want to help us reach more families, you could do one of two things or both. Just take a screenshot and text your three best friends or teacher friends, encouraging them to check out the podcast. Or take a moment and head on over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. I love reading the reviews and hearing what you're enjoying about the show and how the show is helping you at home. And I'd love to be able to give you a shout out on the show and share your review with everyone. So thanks again. Until next time, keep reading.